We know that the Son of God has come and has given to us understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, Jesus Christ. John, 1 John 5:20. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man whose trust in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man whose trust in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. Psalm 34:8. First Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim His praises, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim His praises, called out of His darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 21. Matthew, chapter 24, verse 21. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. You and I have the magnificent privilege of being in fellowship with Jesus Christ and studying His wonderful Word. What a privilege. What a magnificent and marvelous privilege it is for you and me to have the opportunity to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon these eternal truths. I want you to know ahead of time that in a few moments we're going to be somewhat giving you not a test per se, but a reminder. So if you have a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper, it would be good for you to have this available, because you may be desiring to jot some notes down as we move along. Our purpose for being here, as I've said so many times, is to move ourselves away from all the various things that would distract us and keep us from studying God's wonderful truths. God has given us the opportunity to have and be enjoying the recipients of His grace. The Scripture says, "For by grace you're saved through faith." And that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. We've, over the years, studied the Old Testament, many passages. We've studied many passages of the New Testament. We're aware of the fact that when you go to Romans and follow all the way from Romans through the book of Hebrews, you'll find the Apostle Paul being used of the Spirit of God to give to us a lifting to a higher plane of the spiritual life. Today, we're going to be looking again at how God desires that we have this magnificent, victorious, triumphant Christian life. Before we do that, we spend a moment in prayer. May we pray together, please. Father, we are aware of the fact that You've given us the opportunity to know without doubt that we are cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says that if we confess our sins, that You're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank You that we can do that as a believer in Jesus Christ. And based upon the Word of God, we can know that our hearts are prepared spiritually, to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. We're here today to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. There's so much for us to learn. So we pray that you will guide us in these brief moments of study, that today we'll be able to not only hear with our physical ears, but hear with the mentality of our souls, hear with our spiritual hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the back of your bulletin, you have future messages. And then it says, for a period of time, the pastor has chosen to delay the study of the book of Ephesians. And now, before he moves back to the book of Ephesians, he will be dealing with some major subjects of facts of those things related to eschatology, including such subjects as the rapture, the church age, information not revealed, second advent, mystery, tribulation, judgment seat of Christ, millennial reign described, Gog and Magog revolt, the great white throne judgment. These messages will be inserted in the midst of the great proclamation by Scott Griffin, Mike Walters, and Jason Berlin. Sly Martinsic will also have one session during this prelude or interlude. This charge or change will be inspiring and challenging to all of us. And then I say here, thank you for praying earnestly and studying diligently with us. What we're going to do today is to remind you that over the past years, we've put on the screen many diagrams. Diagrams related to the dispensations of time. Diagrams related to the church age, the age of Israel, emphasizing also the tribulation, the millennium, subjects such as the great white throne judgment, the Gog and Magog revolution, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb. There are so many magnificent subjects. What I would like for you to do, if I say something today, if you, in your mind, are able to be aware of where this scripture is found, you just jot it down on a sheet of paper there. If I should say Abraham, for instance, what you would do is to write Genesis chapter 12. Now, I know that that came to all of your minds because over the years I've done such a great job teaching in that area. If I should say the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, I'm sure that you would write down Acts chapter 9. I mentioned a few moments ago that from the book of Romans throughout the book of Hebrews, you will find, I believe, that Spirit of God who used the Apostle Paul in a magnificent way to present to us as Christians the higher life of victory and triumph. There are words that you and I need to remember. We mentioned these to you. We do it very quickly now. The first word that I put on the screen is the word Christology. Most of you are aware of the fact that when I put the word Christology up here, it would take you to the Greek word Christos, which means Christ. Ology emphasizes logia, word, or study, the study of the Lord Jesus Christ. Soteriology is the next word that's on the screen. That is a word that emphasizes the presentation of the subject of salvation. So I would put down out by the side of the word soteriology, salvation. Jesus Christ left heaven's glory and came to this earth as a God-man, went to the cross to bear the sins of the world. We have magnificently presented in the Word of God the great presentation of the subject of salvation. The next word on the screen is the word eschatology. Eschatology, of course, is taken from the word eschatos, last, and ology, the study of. So eschatology would include such subjects as rapture. I'm putting that on the screen for you to see. The church age, the second advent, an emphasis on the mystery concept presented in the Word of God, emphasis upon the subject which we're just beginning today, the subject of the tribulation, the subject of the judgment seat of Christ, emphasized here by the letters JSC, and then the marriage of the Lamb, which is the letters that you see on the screen, M-O-L. And then there is an emphasis in the Word of God on the subject of the millennium, the subject of the Gog and Magog revolt or revolution, the great white throne judgment, and eternity. Now, I realize that I've done this quickly, but I've done it because I wanted you to see that we have an emphasis in the Scripture on many different subjects. One of the subjects that we have is found in Matthew chapter 24. When I mention Matthew 24, I would imagine that all of you would draw the conclusion that I'm emphasizing not age of Israel information or church age information, and I'm letting you make a decision there. Which one do you think it is? If you study the Old Testament, you'll find, beginning with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, an emphasis upon the subject of the age of Israel. You'll find the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis dealing with the age of the Gentiles. On the screen, I'm going to put in a few moments a diagram that all of you have seen many, many times, which is a presentation of the age of the Gentiles, Genesis 1 through 11. Beginning with Genesis chapter 12 is the age of Israel and takes you all the way through the Old Testament into the harmony of the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, taking you on through a number of verses in the New Testament. So you have emphasis on the age of Israel. You have an insertion. You have an insertion there which emphasizes a time when Jesus Christ came on the scene, virgin conceived, virgin born. This is what is known as the intercalated period of time, which emphasizes the fact that Jesus Christ became the God-man. Jesus Christ was born in the age of Israel. Jesus Christ died in the age of Israel. Jesus Christ was raised in the age of Israel. And you and I are aware of the fact that you and I are living in a magnificent time known now as the age of grace, the church age. If I say the age of grace, the church age, all of you should be putting down somewhere the book of Acts, chapter 2, which emphasizes Pentecost. So you have an emphasis then on the age of grace from Acts chapter 2 that takes you on through a number of verses of Scripture that we've been studying in recent days. On the screen, I have for you Matthew 24, 21. It says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." A few moments ago, I said to you, if you're looking at the book of Matthew, looking at the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will see that this is an emphasis upon church age, not church age information, but age of Israel information. "Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." If I should say the word dispensation, or if I should say the word tribulation, most of you would, I believe, draw a conclusion of when, for instance, the tribulation would be on the timeline. When I say timeline, I'm talking about a timeline emphasizing the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the church age, the church, the tribulation, and the millennium. Just going quickly over that. Defining the word dispensation. The dispensation of the church or the church age is never mixed with the dispensation of Israel. Now let me pause for a moment and let you see what is being presented by your minister. The dispensation or period of time, the church age is never mixed with the dispensation of Israel. The tribulation is related to the age of Israel only. I'm going to leave these two on the screen and let you write them down. You ought to. Number one again, the dispensation of the church age. We'll be looking at that diagram in just a few moments. The dispensation of the church age is never mixed with the dispensation of Israel. Sometimes things need to be said, and then they need to be paused. The statement needs to be paused so that you can have time to metabolize, mix it with your faith, and understand what is being said. So I pause again to let you see what we have as number one here on the subject tribulation. Tribulation. The dispensation of the church age is never mixed with the dispensation of Israel. So I'm letting you see something here in relationship to the tribulation. The dispensation of the church age, I'm not saying tribulation, the dispensation of the church age is never mixed with the dispensation of Israel. What is a dispensation? Let's define. Number one, dispensation is a period of human history in terms of divine revelation. I pause and let us think about that for a few moments. What is a dispensation? The definition of dispensation. A period of human history in terms of divine revelation. A period of human history. History, human history. What is a dispensation? A period of human history in terms of divine revelation. Number two, we could define dispensation also as divine categories of human history. Or we could say it in this fashion, the divine outline of history. The divine outline of history. I'm giving you time to record. What is a dispensation? A period of human history in terms of divine revelation. Number two, divine categories of human history, or the divine outline of history. We could define dispensations in another way. Number three, God's interpretation of history, as well as divine plan for man or mankind that's related to time. God's interpretation of history as well as a divine plan for mankind related as a divine plan for us. In other words, a plan of God for us to understand God's timing and God's purpose for our being here on the earth. You've heard me say in recent days, and I repeat, and that is God has you and me here on the earth now because it is in fitting with His divine plan for us. It is not an accident that you and I are alive at this very moment, which simply means that we're concluding that since you and I are still alive, God has a reason and a purpose and a plan for our still being on the earth. We're still existing. So we must not take this for granted. We must accept the fact that if you wake up tomorrow morning, you're still breathing, you can get up and get dressed and move out through the day, you rest assured that that is in keeping with God's purpose and plan for your individual life. You and I are not accidents. No matter who you are, no matter what family you're in, you and I are here because God wants us here, or we wouldn't be here. We're living in a magnificent time known as the Age of Grace, the Church Age, and we have an understanding, I believe, of the difference between law on the one hand, we've heard about it this morning, and grace on the other hand. Beginning with Acts chapter 2, we have Pentecost and the beginning of the church age. You and I live and are still alive in the age of grace. So that means that while we are here, we're here because God wants us on the earth now. Let's look at it again, dispensations. Defining a period of human history in terms of divine revelation. Number two, divine categories of human history, or the divine outline of history. Number three, God's interpretation of history, as well as a divine plan for mankind related to time. Understanding God's timing and God's purpose. Number four, very important. A believer must be oriented to time to understand God's plan. A believer must be oriented to time to understand God's plan. When we understand God's plan, we will begin to understand God's purpose for our individual lives. In every age of dispensation, the plan of God operates through specific agency. I pause for a moment to let that sink in. In every age of dispensation or dispensation, the plan of God operates through a specific agency. If you go back, for instance, to the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, you will discover God's plan for the family. And that is, the dad of the family had the responsibility of being the spiritual director and leader in the home. And had, in fact, had the responsibility also of teaching the children God's plan for their lives that would direct them in the right way on a day-by-day basis. If you go to Genesis chapter 12 and look carefully at the first verses there, you will discover that here is a man, Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham, but we discover that God put him on the scene for the specific purpose of being the spiritual leader of the people called the Jews. So we discover that God had a plan for the Jews. This is known as the Age of Israel. Most of us are aware of the fact, if you study the Old Testament, you will find that these individuals chose not to follow consistently and continually the plan of God in the area of evangelism. And we all know that some things took place and changes were made, and God brought on the scene a Jew who is rude, cruel, mean, as the devil himself, but transformed his life as recorded in Acts chapter 9 and put that person in a position of leadership. And we all understand, and most of us are aware of the fact, that God used Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, in a magnificent way. It was Israel, and now it is the church that has the responsibility of evangelism. So many people today, I believe, are living here in the age of grace, and many who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but have never come to the conclusion of why God allows them to still be here on this earth. God desires that we be lights for our Savior Jesus Christ. We're to let the light shine and understand the fact that we are the instruments through whom God desires to work in this magnificent time between Pentecost on the one hand and the resurrection or the rapture of the saints on the other hand. During the millennium, there is a specific agency, and the agency there is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Salvation always the same, every dispensation, personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as he is revealed in that dispensation. On the screen now, you're going to see this diagram. I'll try to get some of this stuff moved out of the way so that you can see it. If you look carefully, you will discover to my left and your right the eternal ages past. If you look at the other side, you will see the eternal ages future. Each one of these diagrams, and over the years we've put together so many magnificent diagrams. I could floor you today, but I won't do it too much, because I only want to take a few minutes to let you see something. When I came to the study of the tribulation, we designed a diagram specifically with the tribulation being the major emphasis of that diagram. That's the reason why when you look at this diagram, you will see that the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, is in very small print. The reason for that is, at this particular point of time, with this particular diagram, we are not emphasizing primarily the age of the Gentiles or even the age of Israel. The purpose of this particular diagram is emphasizing the tribulation. Most of us are aware of the fact that we're living in a time known as the age of grace, and the next event to take place will be the resurrection of the body of Christ, which we call the rapture. In the last few sessions, we've emphasized the mystery concept of the Word of God. We've emphasized, and it's placed in your bulletin today, because last Wednesday night when I was presenting this information, I was doing it so slowly, for slow minds, not really. I was presenting it so rapidly that some of you didn't get it. Plus the fact that I was not moving the page on the diagram here up where you could see it very easily. So I decided that we'd just put the information in the bulletin. So our wonderful secretary put the information in today's bulletin. You have it there. There is no excuse for you now not to have that information. But on the screen now, you have a picture of the tribulation. When the rapture takes place, born-again believers of the church age will be taken out. All of this is described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're not getting into that now because we've studied it and you have it inserted into your bulletin today. But the event that will take place at the time will be that when you and I are gone, there will then be in heaven the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb. In coming days, we will emphasize the judgment seat of Christ in one session and the marriage of the Lamb perhaps in another session. All I'm trying to do is to spell out some things for all of you. Most of you, and let me insert what I had thought about saying at home when I was making plans for this message. What I want to say to you is, if you feel somewhat handicapped about things that you don't know, I want to say to you very quickly, don't be embarrassed about it. Because what you don't know, there just may be a lot of other people who don't know either. Then let me say to those of you who know, don't become so egotistical and supercilious and proud of yourself that you're so smart. Because I have something to tell you that no matter how smart you are, you still have, and I still have, a lot of things to learn. Would you agree? Amen. You folks are so quiet on that. You thought I was being mean. I'm not being mean. I'm being very kind. I'm being very nice to you to tell you that if you don't know, don't be embarrassed. But I'm also telling you, if you know, don't be so proud. Don't be so egotistical of your knowledge. Appreciate the fact of what you know. Most of us are aware of the fact that when the rapture occurs, we as believers will be taken out. And the next events for us will be the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb. We'll get into that in detail later. Notice on the screen now that when the rapture takes place, there will be 144,000 Jews saved and become the evangelist of the tribulation. At the last session, I made mention, and I didn't go into great detail, and I will at a later time. During the tribulation, there will be at least four major waves of evangelism. There will be, of course, 144,000 converted. And then there will be the evangelistic efforts of those 144,000. There will also be, during that time, I believe some unusual things taking place that are revealed to us in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, where we have a beautiful presentation of what I believe is a picture of Moses and Elijah. Now, you can read that and study it yourself. And then I believe that the fourth wave, that's the third wave, the fourth wave of evangelism will be what God uses as far as angels are concerned. Now, some of you are taking notes and some of you are saying, man, I've never heard of this before, but I don't want to know any more about it now. All right. Here it is on the screen. You have an emphasis in smaller letters. Eternal ages past, eternal ages future. You have the age of the Gentiles. You have the age of Israel. You have the intercalated period, the inserted period known as the church age. That's where you and I are living now. We're living in the age of grace. Beautiful, magnificent time. We heard about this some today in relationship to grace related to law. Most of us are aware of that. 144,000. Tribulation. We have 3.5 years and 3.5 years. We could go into detail here and take you to the last chapter of the book of Daniel, and you have an emphasis there on days related to the tribulation and related to the beginning of the millennium. And you'll find that there are 75 days that are mentioned there in the last chapter of the book of Daniel that tells us what's going to be taking place at the first of the beginning of the millennium, which is very interesting indeed. We'll talk about that later. Now, when I made plans for this service, I wasn't sure just what all I would say and how long it would take. And I've already taken all the time I planned to. We have these young men preaching, doing a wonderful job. I think I've got it down for Michael again Wednesday night, right? And then we don't want to cheat any one of these fellows. January 15, Michael Walters. That's this coming Wednesday, right? Yes. Next Sunday, January the 19th, session one, our pastor, that must be me. So we'll be back on this particular line of study. And then the second session, Scott Griffin. And I'm not so sure how we're going to work this out. We may be working Michael too much. I think it probably should have been Scott instead of Michael, but we'll work that out. Then on January the 28th, first session, our pastor, second session, Jason Berlin. On Wednesday night, 29th, Jason Berlin. Isn't it wonderful to study the Word of God? Amen. Wow. You listen so attentively and so carefully, and I appreciate it. We spend the last moment now with a message to those who hear this voice who've never accepted Christ as Savior. May we bow together for prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, we spend a moment in prayer, just remembering the fact that we do not know in this auditorium today who all will be listening at this moment. But we realize that it's the great possibility that in this area or around the world, there may be someone today who's hearing this voice, who's never accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And I'm glad that I can tell you that when God loved, He loved the world. And that means He loved you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I can say to you emphatically and on purpose and with authority upon the Word of God that I know what the Bible says is true. Because God does not lie. And the Bible says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. The Bible says, and Jesus speaking, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. What this is saying is that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You can trust Him now. You can accept Him now. When you accept Him, I promise you, He will accept you. Because He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. how sweet and wonderful that is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. That means you. This is you. This is for you. If you've never trusted Him, you can do it now. And I promise you that your life will be changed, not because that you're going to be such a great person, but because of what He said He would do for you. And He will change you. He will make things different for you. And it's all based upon your faith and your trust in what He said He would do. You can rest assured that He does not lie to you. He tells the truth. So if you will trust Him, He will save you. If there's someone in this auditorium today who's never trusted the Lord as Savior, this would be a wonderful time for you to do that. I do not know your heart. God does, and you know. So this is a good time for you. If you've never trusted Him before this moment, you could do it now. And again, I say, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Father, as we leave this place today, we go with joy in our hearts, thanking You for the fact that You tell the truth and You're in the saving business. And any person who will believe can be saved. Thank You for each person here today. Thank You for the opportunity which is ours to learn and grow. So much for us to learn. Help us to be diligent, enthusiastic students of Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.